we should do a show before it gets too much later. Now, one thing I will mention is your connection's been kind of crappy off and on. Or my connection
like
has been,
right
I
now?
No. No, well, right now, like, Skype actually has that little poor network connection banner on it. But you actually sound not that bad right now. But a few times when you were talking over the last 10 minutes, you'd be talking and then, it would be normal again. I don't know if it's you or me, but...
I'm going to blame Skype.
Yeah, of course you're going to blame Skype. Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Saturday, May 19th, 2018. I'm Sam Minter. Yvonne Bo is here again. Hello, Yvonne.
Hello.
And today I will do the agenda right up front. Topic number one is going to be racist morons.
Yes.
I think that's good enough. There have been a number of varieties, whatever.
Oh, varieties! It's a good...
We can build a little taxonomy and, you know, classify the different kinds of racist morons. Anyway, we're going to talk about racist morons, because a bunch of them have been in the news lately, including our president, but others too. Then, topic two, there have been many more developments, once again, on... Trumpgate, whatever you call this merged scandal of everything going on with Trump and the people surrounding him. Most of the developments this week have been around corruption in one way or another, not specifically about Russia. But there have been a few little Russia things, too. But mostly it's been corruption stuff.
And right? Rudy keeps going out there and helping him out.
Yeah. Rudy's still doing his thing. And then we're going to end it up with a segment on what's been going on in Israel and Gaza and what our thoughts are on that. It's been a while since we've talked about that.
And I just realized we didn't talk about the – we didn't put on the agenda the ongoing major problem in this country.
Yeah,
that we should, pass legislation on the issue that we have with doors.
Yeah. Too many buildings have too many doors.
That's right. I mean,
especially schools.
Especially schools. That apparently is the problem that we're facing like right now. It's all these fucking doors.
Wow.
I mean, are you for a door ban?
I think so. There should be strict rationing on doors.
Yeah, I think,
Obviously, Yvonne is referring to the fact that we had another school shooting earlier today in Texas, or Friday, I should say, in Texas. There was also something in Georgia later in the day.
Yeah.
But it was quote unquote only two people shot, one person dead.
Now we're down to the level when only two people are shot at a school. We're like, oh, that's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Only two people got shot. Yeah. Only one dead. All right.
We're making progress. The county police put out a statement very specifically saying there is not a mass shooting. There were only two people shot.
Only two.
Right. Anyway, so there was another school shooting. I don't know that there's that much else to say. We've talked a lot about that when Parkland happened.
The only point is that, you know, all these fucking people are out and saying, well, we're going to do something about it, right? We're going to do something about it. And because they are so fucking, like, avoiding anything with gun control, it's gotten to the point now where they're talking about banning that there's too many doors at schools. And that's the problem. There was something else some other moron said along those lines, too, about it's too many doors. Sean Hannity apparently made a comment about that they need to monitor every child's social media accounts. All of them. They all need to be monitored. Now, we can't have background checks, he said, but we can monitor every single social media account of every child in every school.
Yeah, so...
That's not intrusive.
I don't know. I mean, the talk and the conversation that had started with Parkland had kind of died down. So I guess it was time for another one. Right?
I guess it's time for another shooting? Okay. Well,
yeah, because, you know, it took longer than it usually did after Parkland, but, you know, it had finally pretty much receded from the day-to-day conversation. 3 months,
I mean, you know, amazingly enough.
Yeah. So, okay, so that's our agenda. We're going to keep this opening segment pretty short, but I did want to mention one exciting thing I did this week. You ready?
Yeah.
You ready?
Drum roll.
I was going to say I have to find a sound effect, but you did it so well, you know. I canceled $80 a month worth of charges for services that I had not used in many years.
Yeah, go sound!
I know. And this is for someone who kept...
One of them include AOL? Were you getting charged for AOL dial-up?
I finally canceled my AOL dial-up probably a decade ago at this point, but but it took me a decade after the last time I had actually dialed up with it before I canceled
it. So I'm like, okay,
because right, it was like, you know, I have to have it just in case, you know?
Just in case. Any dial-up, right.
Well, and then I forgot about it for a few more years. And then, you know. But no. It was similar, though. So there are three, two of them actually are related to internet services. So I had an iPad that is, that basically died and has not been, I mean, it will turn on at this point. Like it's in the other room. I could go charge it up and it'll turn on, but it will go a maximum of about 10 minutes before it spontaneously restarts.
And so you still had the data connection on it.
Obviously. And I still had the data connection on it, even though I haven't used the damn thing in several years.
Right.
And, you know, I was paying however much a month for that.
$20.
I think it was actually more because I had a higher level. Whatever. And then I also had my son's old iPad. He also had an older iPad that eventually, it also still works, but the charge port had gotten to the point where you had to, like, do all kinds of heroic efforts with exactly how you were holding the charge cable in order to make it actually charge. And so if you would have to work for like 20 minutes to get it all aligned properly and prop it up in such a way that it'll charge and hope nobody jiggled it before it fully charged. So, and that also has been like a year and a half or something since we replaced his iPad. And that was also charging. I think that one was actually like $30 a month or something.
Jesus Christ.
So I finally killed that. And like for the longest time, I knew like, oh, I have to kill that data plan. But like you had to like log into Verizon with the phone number of the iPad.
And really?
I didn't know what the fuck the phone number of the iPad was.
Are they not? You don't have them all in one account? You bought separate. You had the ones that are with the separate.
These were the old ones.
Not on a family like, data.
Well, plan. See, the thing is, right now, all of the new iPads in the family, my wife has one and my son has one, are on our AT&T family plan.
Okay.
But when we got the older iPads, we had AT&T, but the iPads weren't available for AT&T. Right. They were only available for Verizon. So they had independent accounts.
Gotcha.
And so I finally, I was able to find all the information, the phone numbers and stuff. And I'd been putting it off. And I finally took the time to dig out all the necessary information and cancel them.
Well, I'm a little bit more efficient about that because I actually just this week did cancel an iPad that we have an iPad that's actually in good repair, except that somebody's babysitting Manu and Manu asked for his iPad. They gave him my wife's iPad instead of his. Manu's iPad has an OtterBox, and he's used to using it all the time. So he got mom's iPad, and he was careless with it and cracked the screen. Mm. And then I was just like, it's been a month, and I'm like, well, I deactivated it. Like, it took me a month, I will say. I'm going to fix it. I think I'm actually going to Hong Kong in 2 weeks, and they told me that over there that the repair services are, like, much better. And I'm actually going to Shanghai, too, so like, I'll try one of them. Tell me the repair services are much better and far cheaper. So I'm going to actually take it with me to get it fixed. And then I'll re-up it, and I'll let you know how that goes. They said that they actually will come to the office and do it. And then.
So, anyway.
Well, they do that here in the U.S., but anyway, they told me that it's cheaper and better, so I'm going to try it.
The final thing I canceled was our Netflix DVD plan.
Oh!
Now, to give you an idea, we had a four DVD plan for the three of for myself, my wife, and my daughter. Each had independent queues, and then we had a fourth queue that was for another set of things that we were watching together.
Right. When's the last time you ordered a DVD from this thing?
Well, it was, I don't know exactly, but I know it was before we moved into our current house.
Oh man, you've been there like a few years.
We moved into this house almost exactly on my son's second birthday. He is 8 years old now. 8.5 years old. We have been paying $27 a month for this Netflix DVD plan.
That much?
Well, it was for the four DVD plan. Yeah, the price hasn't changed in those 6 years, but it was, you paid a certain amount for like one DVD at a time or two DVDs, extra for four.
I mean, but you were paying for that. Did that plan include the streaming, or you were paying separately?
Oh, separately for the streaming. So it was $27 a month for the DVDs, plus like another $12 a month or whatever for the streaming that we get. So now we use the streaming. We use the streaming
part. Yes, I got that. Okay.
But the DVD part, we had not returned any of the DVDs. Theoretically, we have four DVDs out right now. But we've moved since we last have seen these DVDs.
You guys have no idea where the DVDs are?
No, I think I've seen one of them somewhere in my office sometime in the last 2 years. But that's one of the four.
I think that they're not going to ask for boxes. $27.
They will charge you for them. So we will probably end up buying those four DVDs from Netflix.
Oh, those motherfuckers. I would call it like tell them to go fuck themselves. I'm like, give me a fucking break. I mean, you paid what? $270, $300 times 6 years. You gave them $1,800.
I have avoided doing that math.
Sorry to multiply it for you.
I have avoided doing that math.
Sorry,
I didn't want to know.
You gave them almost $2,000 for nothing. Now they're going to go charge for the goddamn DVDs. I call them up. If they fucking charge the DVDs, I'm going to call them on your behalf. Say fuck you, people. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. So. Yeah, I saw, I had a few extra moments. I saw the email that, Netflix had charged, because they charge us like quarterly or every 2 months or something. So it was like, here's your $60 for Netflix or whatever the hell it was.
You're like, oh, fuck, man. Exactly.
And so I finally, I had a few minutes. I did it because I'd been reluctant to do it before. You know, one of the excuses I used was I didn't want to lose my queue.
Okay.
So I printed my queue to a PDF and I'll add it to the wiki page I use to keep track of those things today. Okay. So, but there were still like 400 items or something in my Netflix queue.
400 items?
Well, I stopped.
400 items.
What? More than 400. Because one of the reasons I stopped actively using my Netflix queue and moved to making a wiki page of movies I wanted to watch is because when I hit 500 items in my queue, Netflix wouldn't let me add anymore.
I don't know why. Fucking people with the kind of money that they were making.
Yeah, for $1,800 fucking bucks, they could let me
put like 1,000. Your fucking queue as long as you want.
Yeah. So yeah, 6.5 years, $27 a month. Without getting a damn thing for it.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. You're like, they should send you like a little flag saying number one customer or something or whatever. You know, we love you.
Okay. I think that's enough because you can all make fun of me. And, I realize, look, I'm in an incredibly privileged position that I'm just talking about $80 a month that I canceled after wasting for years and years. And there are people out there where that $80 a month could make a huge difference to them. And I feel bad. And I look, we could have used that $80 a month too. You add it up and you make it $2,000. I'm like, fuck, I could have used that $2,000.
Yes, you could have used $2,000. Well, actually, wait. No. If these all were for 6 years, it's not $2,000.
Well, no,
$2,000 just for the,
no,
for the Netflix.
Netflix
if you combine,
wait. Netflix was 6 years. The iPads were probably more like two.
Okay, so that was like, so the iPads were like two, so we're talking like about $60 for the iPad, 600, 700, another $1,500. We're talking about $3,300, $3,500. I like $3,500. I could, you know, you could take a vacation for $3,500.
Yeah, and you know, look, there have been times during those 6 years where we were tight on cash.
Right.
And that would have helped, and I'm an idiot. And I know there are probably still other bills along those lines that I have not found. And
you need to find them, yet. You need to hunt them down, and you need to kill them.
Because they add up.
Yes,
obviously.
They do.
Because, you know, you sort of mentally think, oh, it's $30.
Yeah. Yeah, it's $30 here, $50 there, $30 there. It's like fucking adds up like a mother.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you can all make fun of me, and yeah.
You got good company on that with a lot of people. So
yeah, I know. And like I said, it probably pales to what I gave AOL before I finally turned those off. But
anyway, yes. Spent
a decade. Okay.
We'll talk about this anyway. All right.
Let's take a break, and we will be back after this to talk about racist morons. We shall return. You're listening to this podcast. Do you like it?
No!
Do you want to support the show?
No!
Well, after you have subscribed to the show, followed us on Facebook, and told all your friends they should be listening to, what else can you do?
I won't subscribe!
You can help fund our Patreon at patreon.com/curmudgeonscorner. Patreon is a way you can throw us a few bucks a month to help out with the expenses of the show. You know, web hosting, equipment, a little bit of advertising to promote the show, and maybe every once in a while some much needed sedatives for Yvonne. At different contribution levels, you can get a mention on the show, our Curmudgeon's Corner postcard, or even a Curmudgeon's Corner mug. Fun stuff.
Not fun.
In any case, the contributions help tell us that you enjoy and appreciate the show.
I really, really hate Curmudgeon's Corner.
Are we worth a buck a month?
No!
$5 a month?
No!
Or if you are nuts about us, maybe even more.
Anywhere near $1 billion.
If we're worth anything to you at all, send it our way at patreon.com/curmudgeonscorner.
Alex hates, really, really hates, Curmudgeon's Corner! That's really mean, isn't it? But I hate Curmudgeon's Corner, but I really do!
Okay, Yvonne, which racist moron do you want to start with?
All right, so, Exhibit A on the racist moron thing, which was really popular this week, is this New York attorney called Aaron Schlossberg. Pronounced that right? Aaron Schlossberg.
Something. Yeah.
Yeah. So Aaron Schlossberg went into a restaurant right by his office building where he works, called the Fresh Market, and heard a couple of people speaking Spanish, and went on to them and started berating them, telling them that, you know, why are you all here illegal? I'm going to call ICE on you. You shouldn't be speaking Spanish. Just basically just created a freaking massive scene of just you know, berating people and threatening them with you know, expulsion, telling them that you're not, none of you are here legal. I'm going to get you all out of here.
Let me ask, because I have seen reporting on this and seen the headlines, but I have not read the articles. I did not watch the video. Was he drunk or something?
No. Oh, no. Not at all. No, this guy was completely sober. It was lunchtime.
Okay.
And he was completely sober. Oh, yeah.
What prompted this? Did he just walk by them and
He just walked and did this as he saw them. Now, okay, and so you're wondering, why the hell would this guy do this? He's a big Trump guy, apparently. People are looking, but somebody went, and after this was posted on social media, recognized the guy. Okay, all right?
Yeah.
And so there is this, somebody, and so the guy that recognized them, apparently, it was about 2 years ago, okay? Sean King tweeted out, this is a guy called, the his Twitter handle is at More Willie, MoreWillie. In October of 2016, this guy, who is a white guy from Massachusetts, is walking down the street with his girlfriend. Okay. All right. And I actually tweeted this out. There's a retweet from, Anna Navarro retweeted as a retweet from Sean King.
Uh-huh.
And it's from the At More Willie account. I mean, you can see. So he was walking down the street in New York. Okay. He lives in New York. He's a business guy. He's walking with his girlfriend, a very attractive girlfriend, by the way, but apparently as a model, I saw in a profile.
Okay.
And the guy is a video. The guy is a guy that does videos and things. So he's just walking down the street, and this guy just marches up to him. Just, he gets out of his way to march up to him and saying, "What are you doing here, you ugly fucking foreigner? I'm calling ICE on you because you need to be deported."
Wait, so is
right in the middle of the street.
This is a second incident.
This was, but this happened 2 years ago.
Okay, so this is not the first one went viral. First, the one went viral, and then this is something they found that he'd posted himself.
No. The guy that got harassed. The moment it happened, he went and
he recognized the guy.
Yeah, and so he recognized, fuck, this is the guy.
The same
that
guy.
Went, you know, accosted me on the street. Just like that. So apparently this guy just walks around and just goes and just harasses people that he thinks are foreigners. In New York City, of all fucking places.
And you know, there's nobody who doesn't look like, you know, a stereotypical 1950s white guy in New York City. Like,
right.
Nobody.
What the hell? But the guy, I mean, just imagine this.
Just seriously, just a second. You know, New York, just seriously, of all places in the world, New York City is known as a melting pot where you walk down any block, you'll hear seven languages being spoken.
Yes!
You know, and you'll walk past people from all over the world because everybody comes to fucking New York.
Yes.
So, like, of all places to decide to go off on people who aren't speaking English or aren't white or whatever, how can you walk 10 feet in New York?
I don't. I mean, your guess is good as mine, but just think, dude, this guy just walked up to a guy he had never met, just walked up to him and started harassing him, calling him an ugly fucking foreigner and telling him, taking pictures of him and telling him that he's going to call ICE to have him deported. I mean, what is going on with this dude? So anyway, you know, apparently other, you know, it's come up that this guy apparently behaves like this regularly. And he's, you know, there was pictures of him being at some pro-Trump rallies and some other stuff and whatever. And so, well, look, he's been, let's just say, ostracized as people has found out in court. He had apparently a shared office space at an office in New York, in a building right beside where the restaurant was. the person who was leasing the space for him terminated his access and said, you know, get the fuck out of here. We don't want you in the building. And a whole bunch of other things happened. Now, a whole bunch of people have been saying, why are you harassing this guy? What the hell? And so people have been like walking up to him and like the press has been accosting him. He went to court and like people were all just like nobody wanted to deal with this guy. Apparently, they know where he lives. And so there is like apparently earlier today there was a Latin party being held outside his house at this point. And some people are saying what was the comment? What I heard is you're going too far against this guy. It's like, you know, you need to be considerate of people. I don't know. It just seemed like, you know, that people shouldn't be doing this to a guy like this. And but I you know what? No.
You know, I'll tell you. I'll tell you where I draw the line. I think that.
Let me tell you why. Look, what I said is that, look, the kind of behavior that this guy has been exhibiting, apparently, and it's been repeated, it's not just like one time that maybe he flipped out. He is walking up to people and harassing them in the street and threatening, insulting them and threatening them with deportation from this country because they're ugly fucking foreigners. And to me, this is the kind of behavior that is the underlying hatred that that created, you know, what became the Nazi concentration camp. That's why the Nazis did this kind of hatred of people. And to me, that the fact that these people need to be ostracized, I think, is important. I don't think that these people can walk around society thinking that they are safe going around and doing this.
Yeah.
And that there will be no consequences to their actions.
I'll say that there are a couple things that matter to me in this. First of all, given what he has done, I think the party in front of his house is hilarious and fine.
Yes.
I think the, you know, when he's walking down the street, you know, saying things to him about how he's a fucking racist and he has to go away is fine. I think kicking him out of a business because you don't want him as a patron is fine. I think all of that kind of stuff is fine. I think I would draw the line, like, if we found this guy, you know, beat up in a ditch somewhere, I'd be like, okay.
Oh, yeah. I'm not, yeah. Oh, no. That would be doing him a favor. No. But this guy,
right.
You know,
so I'd put a line there. I'd also put another line as one of the things that is, this guy is not sort of privately making racist arguments in one place or another.
No.
He is explicitly harassing people because of this.
In public.
In public, yes. Because of this stuff. If he was sitting at home making racist posts on discussion forums somewhere, I would be like, he's a dick, he's an asshole, he probably should be ostracized in many of the same ways, but maybe not quite the same level of harassment. But if he was out publicly harassing people, and fine, let them do it right back to him. I don't know. I mean, to some degree. Now, there's obviously a line where there's a difference between you know, someone getting harassed once, and like if people are pestering this guy 24/7, 365, and are not letting him move about at all, at some point that reaches a level of, okay, you are criminally harassing him. He may deserve some of it, but you are criminally harassing him, and you need to back the hell off. But I don't think we've reached that level yet.
No. I don't think we're even close. No, not at all. So,
I mean, yeah. you've heard similar things about what was his name, Milo Yiannopoulos whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Like he was being chased out of some gay bars somewhere because,
right.
You know, and
nobody wanted to be with him.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, well, you know, because as they've said repeatedly, like there's, yes, you have the right to say what you want. You have the right for free speech, etc., but you don't have the right to be insulated from the consequences of your speech. And
exactly.
if your speech results in people not wanting to be with you, wanting to, you know, yell at you because you're saying obnoxious things, then, you know, you get what you've deserved. I mean, deserves the wrong word, but you are.
No, he is getting what he deserves. I mean, you know, he truly is. I mean, I'm sorry, but you go out and you publicly harass people like that and expect no consequences from it?
You gotta wonder what he was thinking too. Like, this is where people have been talking about, like, this, the folks like this seem to have been emboldened in the last
by this jerk off president. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and it is important. Like, what had happened over the last couple decades was racism hadn't gone away, but it obviously, but it had been somewhat pushed into the closet where people had to be circumspect. And we're talking about overt racism here. There's also sort of institutional racism. There's subconscious racism. There's all these kinds of things. Those are separate conversations, but the absolutely overt racism, it had become socially stigmatized. In lots of places where, like, if you went, and not everywhere, to be clear, not everywhere, but in lots of places, if you openly just said something that was clearly racist, you'd be called out on it. People would, you know, look funny at you. They would want you to not be there or not say that, or at least shut up. Like, they might not want you to get out, but they'd want you to please shut up. You don't say that kind of stuff in polite company. And, you know, they might say, okay, when we're alone, we can talk like that, but not in public. You know, so it was at least driven underground to some degree. But it seemed like in the last 2 years, it's just, these people aren't ashamed at all.
No, nope,
they're just
not at all
ready to come right out and say it and defend their, and I think that is definitely a trend that it's okay to reverse. You know, it's okay for, you know, society to shun the racist bigots.
Yeah.
And I would, you know, and the fact that there are so many of them that are emboldened, and it is in part due to Donald Trump coming up there and talking about the neo-Nazis and saying they're good people.
It is because of Donald Trump.
Well, there's a little bit of a chicken and egg thing here, because the emboldening of these guys led to his election, and his election led to more. So it's a reinforcing spiral, you know.
Which leads to the next thing we've got.
You want to talk to the Trump thing. One? I've got a couple other racist idiots.
Let's go through the rest of the racist assholes first before we hit the main one.
Well, one other one for today, and I did want to call out this. Without going into details of each one, there have been a string of incidents in the news where the police have been called on black people going about their business, doing completely innocent things. We talked
just
about
doing nothing. They're just, you know, they're just doing their day.
We talked about the thing in Starbucks a couple weeks ago. But we've had a college student who was sleeping in one of the common areas of their dorm. We had, what was it? Was it a real estate agent looking at a house, or was it someone looking
to
buy a house?
It was an investor, actually, who had a house under contract. Okay. All right. That he was going in to take pictures because he had a right to inspect before the closing. And he had the documents from the person that did the contract, giving him permission to go do the inspection. And he shows up and he had put up a sign and everything. He has his business cards. He has his paperwork. And this racist lady from the side is like yelling at him, "Get out of my neighborhood! I'm calling the cops!"
And then we had a barbecue. There are some folks having a barbecue.
Yeah, some people having a barbecue in a barbecue area, and some lady decided to call the police on the barbecuers.
Yeah, and all of these incidents
in a barbecue area. Apparently, they were using the incorrect fuel.
Okay,
but give me a fucking break. All right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were having a barbecue in a barbecue area.
Like, they were using charcoal instead of gas or something.
Or something. You know, whatever. But give me a fucking break. You're calling the cops on them because they're using the wrong fuel?
And look, all of these incidents we're talking about have the commonality that these people lived. Nobody was shot.
And the lady that got dragged out of her car. the black lady that got drunk, basically like 70-year-old lady in Atlanta that just on the regular police stop just got like basically physically like dragged out from her car.
I didn't even hear about that one.
Yeah, this was late this week too.
But you know, and all of these, like I said, we're lucky nobody got. Well, I guess the one you were talking about might have gotten hurt, but nobody got shot or killed. But every one of these circumstances, because we've heard plenty over the last couple of years, where the police are called like that and the guy gets shot, you know, or whatever. Like, what was the kid in Ohio who was in a playground playing with a toy gun and the cops rolled up and shot him?
Yeah, and shot him.
Yeah. So this stuff it's just ridiculous. And here's the thing. We're hearing more about it right now. It's not like this hasn't been going on. This has been going on. There might be an uptick on it because of the same thing we've been talking about people feeling emboldened to be racist assholes. But this kind of stuff has been going on forever. You know, it's not new, but we're forcing awareness here where it's like, oh, that's, you know, and you know, people are like, well, and this is, you know, they're talking about, you know, people in black neighborhoods or immigrant neighborhoods or whatever. Well, why didn't you just call the cops for this? Well, this kind of thing is why, you know, you know, from the point of view of a middle class white guy, you know, my entire life I was taught, you know, hey, if you need help with something, call the police. They're here to help you. Blah, 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 blah. I've never even slightly been, you know, afraid of the police. You know, but for so many communities, the normal interaction with the police is almost always negative. And you wonder why people think differently about it and don't want to call. And in at least one of these situations, the police at least did the right thing. They got there and said, no, in the guy with the house, they said, he's got his paperwork. He's doing exactly what he's supposed to be. You leave him alone.
Yeah.
You know, and I've seen at least some commentary saying, you know, the way you have to fight this is at some point you have to say, if you call the police for this kind of bullshit, you could get in trouble.
Well, actually, the lady over there, I mean, the police were almost like basically threatened over that if she continued, I mean, they were going to freaking arrest her.
Yeah. Well, and that has to be the norm. You know, you call us because, you know, they're sitting there doing something completely normal that is bullshit. Well, we're going to give you a misdemeanor for, you know, a false call to the police or whatever.
Right.
I'm not necessarily talking throw people in jail on the first offense, but like, come on, it should be equivalent to calling the police and on something that's complete and total bullshit just to see them come out to your neighborhood and flash the sirens around. You know, you're wasting the police's time. You're taking them away potentially from more serious things, and you're harassing innocent people because you're afraid of the black guy.
Who was I was remembering some fake call thing that happened like recently where some guys got killed.
Yeah. Well, and this is separate from the kind of racist stuff we were talking about here, but apparently there's there's a subset of certain online communities that have decided it's just funny when you're in an online beef with somebody to call the cops on them, tell them there's a hostage situation or whatever, to try to get the SWAT team to come out to the guy you don't like's house.
Right, and apparently your SWAT teams are stupid enough that they'll come out like fucking like, you know, not really verify what the hell it is and just go and shoot people.
Yeah. Well, because they'll basically run in. Like, in that scenario, I think the kid came outside or something and the SWAT team was all around and they thought he was holding something, so they shoot him. Whatever, you know. And in that case, you know, A, you probably do have trigger happy cops who should slow down a little bit. But B, you've also got, like, the guy who's intentionally calling the police on the other guy's house, telling them there's a dangerous person with a gun there.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, it's really messed up.
I mean, to some degree, the police, you've gotten a call that says there's a dangerous person with a gun holding someone hostage. You better get here fast. You're going to come in with a certain attitude.
Understood. Yeah, agreed.
Okay. So anyway, another situation that came up was this Dallas Morning News story today.
Oh, God. Yeah, I forgot about that guy.
About this guy. He's a former district judge who's now in a runoff to be the Republican Dallas County Commissioner.
Something.
And I can't read the actual story because it doesn't like my ad blocker, so fuck them. But the summary is that he set up a living trust with a clause basically saying
I was hearing that there were multiple clauses in there.
Basically, it says for his kids, if you marry a person of the opposite sex that's Caucasian, that's also Christian, then you will get money.
Right.
And apparently he's, various other, racist things, and all the cases he's been involved in previously probably need to be reevaluated. But I mean, it's like, really? How is this even legal in this day and age to write up, I don't care if it's a will, a living will, a trust, a directive that has these kinds of clauses in it. Like, you get your money if you marry, a straight white guy who's Christian, but if you do anything else, you get nothing. I mean, I understand it's people's own money, it's their will, it's whatever, I can give money to whoever I want and not give money to whoever I want for whatever reason I want, I guess, but this kind of thing is ridiculous. Come on. It shouldn't be enforceable by a court of law.
Yeah. No. I got you on that.
It's just like housing covenants that said you can only sell your house to white people or whatever. It's
right,
which of course were very, very common. Come on. Okay, you can talk about Donald Trump now.
You want me to talk about Trumpy and his animal comments?
Sure.
So this was
he was only talking about MS-13, Yvonne.
No, he wasn't. And any idiot that, you got to give him. So for those of you who don't know the context, he had a meeting with a sheriff. He was discussing gang related violence. They were talking about MS-13, which is apparently his favorite subject for whatever the hell damn reason. And, so the sheriff had mentioned something, how it was difficult to get ICE to take action, except, in certain cases that it had to escalate above a certain level. And then he started talking about all these people that are coming in and, we're throwing them out all the time and, that they're all animals. And, a whole bunch of people were saying that this was just about MS-13. And look, you have to be disingenuous and you have to really suspend disbelief in order to truly believe that, because what the guy has talked about, the guy's words, the guy is always spewing gibberish that is isolated from whatever the context at the moment is. This is something that he has said before. Of course he believes his people are animals. Absolutely. He believes that all immigrants are animals, and he wasn't talking about MS-13 alone. In the context that he was saying, he was talking about immigrants.
So, like, a lot of journalists have apologized and said, well, we took it out of context, blah, 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 because they did play just a second. They did play the clip without the introductory question about MS-13, because he was answering a question about MS-13. But it really does seem like I read that transcript and
his comments were disassociated from the MS-13 conversation. It seemed like
it did seem like that to me. To me, it seemed like a after the fact justification of what he said, trying to cling to the fact that the question was about MS-13 to try to make that connection. And it was clear that he was talking more generally. But let's say for a second that he was talking about MS-13. There are a couple things here.
They're still not animals anyway.
Right. Well, yeah, of course we all are animals now, to do Neil Tyson right. thing. We're all animals.
All right.
We are biologically animals.
All right.
But there are a couple things here. There was a very good thread that I retweeted by Julian Sanchez, whose Twitter handle is Normative, where he talks about, look, this is I'm going to read some of what he said. This is a textbook case of how dehumanizing and racist rhetoric works. The question was about references a hypothetical MS-13 member. Trump immediately pivots to a vaguer people trying to come into the country who right. were taking out. The point of that move is precisely to conflate the groups. People yes. trying to come in, gang members, yes. not people, animals.
Yes.
Spend yes. 5 minutes on any racist message board and you'll find a dozen instances of the trope. There's always some real crime by some specific member of a disfavored group that gets invoked to rationalize the move to talk about the more nebulous they, who are animals and savages. But the specific case is always a pretext for indulging the generalization. And he goes on, but you get the point.
Yeah.
And I think that's very true here. And of this, and then also to back up further, I mean, you've got all kinds of conservatives saying, aha, the liberals are defending MS-13 and, you know, MS-13 are humans too is not the hill to die on. But you know, I retweeted somebody saying, actually, that's probably the most single important hill that in human ethics is
yeah.
that even the worst human beings on the planet
are humans,
are human and worthy of rights and dignity. Like
yes.
they may be mass murderers, but you still, they still deserve something. You know, it's not saying that, you know, they're not horrible, they don't deserve something coming to them, but that's why we have things like the rule of law and due process
yes.
and all of this. It's not just to make sure that we don't accidentally get an innocent person, although that's important too, but it's also because there are fundamental human rights that apply no matter what. Even if you're a bad guy. And that's actually quite important. And yeah, I understand from a political point of view, you got all kinds of conservatives sort of salivating here about, yeah, yeah, go ahead, defend MS-13. That's exactly what you want. Go for it, libs. That's perfect. Do that. And okay, I get that from a political point of view, but come on. Oh, and actually, I found the quote. It's the person who said that was Twitter handle Respectable Law. And the exact quote was, actually, it's the single most important hill to die on in all of human morality. No. In response to Lacan Markley saying, actually, MS-13 gangbangers are still human beings is not the hill to die on, IMHO. So, anyway. No. But I think, aside from that point, which actually is very important, I think the trying to defend Donald Trump as saying, he wasn't really talking about all the immigrants, blah, 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 blah. He was only talking about MS-13.
It's ludicrous.
It's disingenuous. I mean, he clearly, you know, if you ask him specifically, are there some good immigrants, he's going to say, he fucking married an immigrant, okay? But he clearly has some very negative feelings towards certain types of immigrants. And we've said it before, it's basically brown people.
Yep.
You know, because he's fine with his Eastern European lily white wife. But right. but if you and he'd probably be fine with, you know, most people from Europe, most people from Eastern Europe. But, you know, if you start talking about Africa, you start talking about shithole countries. If you start talking about Mexicans, they're all fucking rapists, you know, and or animals, you know.
Yes.
And, you know, I don't know. Has he made any disparaging Asian comments yet? I'm sure he must have.
I'm
not remembering it off the top of my head. But, you know, look, the guy clearly has some issues here. And people keep sort of dancing around it. But come on. It's so clear at this point. How many years of evidence of things that he's said or done going back well before he was president do you need to, like, get to this point? I don't know. And of course, you know, I don't know. There'll always be exceptions, right? You know, he likes Omarosa and Don King, so he can't be racist against black people.
Right? Oh, God. Yeah, whatever.
You know, but yeah, that's not how it works. I'm sorry. You know,
by the way, good news. I'm hearing a rumor that somebody's trying to offer Avenatti and Scaramucci a Crossfire 3.0.
Yeah.
The hell are we coming to? Anyway.
Yeah.
All right. On that note. Oh, gosh. Sorry about that.
On that note, you're going to die some more?
Yes, exactly. Yes. We're going to find a hill to die on.
And and while Yvonne does that, we will take a break, and then we will talk about all the Russia stuff. Back after this.
Do-do-do. Hello, this is Justin. I'm here to let you know about Son the Curmudgeon's other podcasts. The Wiki of the Day podcasts. Wiki of the Day comes in three varieties: popular, random, and featured. Each highlights a new Wikipedia article each day. They just pick the articles differently. This week on popular Wiki of the Day, you would have heard the summary for Prince Harry. Prince Henry of Wales, Henry Charles Albert David, born September 15, 1984, familiarly known as Prince Harry, is a member of the British royal family. He is the younger son of Charles, Prince of Wales, and Diana, Princess of Wales, and a sixth in the line of succession to the British throne. Harry was educated at schools in the United Kingdom and spent parts of his gap year in Australia and Lesotho. He then chose a military career and underwent officer training at the Royal Military Academy Sandhurst. He was commissioned as a cornet, i.e. second lieutenant, into the Blues and Royals, serving temporarily with his brother, Prince William, and completed his training as a troop leader. In 2007-08, he served for over 10 weeks in Helmand, Afghanistan, but was pulled out after an Australian magazine revealed his presence there. He returned to Afghanistan for a 20-week deployment in 2012-13 with the Army Air Corps. He left the Army in June 2015. Harry launched the Invictus Games in 2014, and remains patron of its foundation. He also gives patronage to several other organizations, including the Hala Trust, the London Marathon Charitable Trust, and Walking with the Wounded. On November 27, 2017, it was announced that Prince Harry was engaged to marry American actress Meghan Markle. Kensington Palace later announced that their wedding would be held on May 19, 2018. That's all there is to it. See? Fun, entertaining, educational, and short. Okay. Now look for and subscribe to the Wiki of the Day family of podcasts on your podcast playing software of choice, or just go to wikioftheday.com to check out our archives. Now back to Curmudgeon's Corner. Do do do.
Okay, we are back. So what happened with we've got corruption news. We've got corruption news. Let me try to bounce through my list real quick. Let's see. We've got the thing with Trump suddenly going soft on ZTE a few minutes after China approved like some development he's invested in.
So they approved investing, I think it was $500 million in some investment. I think it was on Indonesia, I think it was, or somewhere.
Malaysia.
Malaysia, Indonesia, that would significantly he would benefit from. Yes.
Yeah, and so suddenly ZTE, which is a telecommunication phone manufacturer, etc., which the American government had put all kinds of restrictions on because it was suspected of being insecure and a way for the Chinese government to get into things, and they'd been violating sanctions against Iran and North Korea, all kinds of stuff. Then Trump said, we're going to work on all that. We'll fix that up. We'll be able to get ZTE up and running again and save all sorts of jobs in China.
Right.
So that's item number one. You want to talk about that a little bit before we move on to any other items? I was going to do.
I don't know if there's that much else to talk about. It's just this continuous thing about how hundreds of millions flow in a way that is directionally favorable to Trump, while at the same time, all of a sudden, he's like backing off, say, a sanction or this or something or whatever on the other end. It's just, you know.
Yeah, I mean, and these are exactly the kinds of things where is there proof of a quid pro quo? Not that's public at this point.
No.
It just
no.
looks...
But it smells and looks like shit.
Exactly. And now, are there... Is Mueller or somebody else probably looking to see if they can find anything? Maybe. But if all the players are sort of smart about how they do this, there might not be a specific paper trail. Of course, I say if everybody is smart, but all the evidence we've had so far is an idiot.
Trump's financial disclosure came out, and he revealed that he did reimburse what's-his-name, you know, his money.
Yes.
And it is kind of weird because it doesn't really, you know, that form is funky. It listed... It doesn't list really. It lists assets and liabilities, and it lists revenue, but not profits. It's
useless.
I mean, it's not useless, but it's not the way it should be. There should be a full profit and loss, you know, that people have to turn over, and not just the way that is. Okay, it should be more detailed than that. It is helpful, but it's not what it should be. And but the thing is that apparently whoever was preparing it decided that that was a liability, and mm-hmm. so therefore had to be reported.
Well, and not just reported, but the ethics office actually referred it to the Justice Department to look into if it was a violation that it was not reported last year.
Correct. Right.
Now, again, but this kind of conflict is exactly why the norm has been. Blind trusts, sell everything, put it in a blind trust, so that any question like this just goes away, you know, because, right. you know, you could make an argument here that, oh, these things are completely disconnected. You know, the Trump organization is going on about its business. Donald Trump is worrying about China from a foreign policy point of view, but they're not connected. If they happen to align in the same direction, well, coincidence. Or just, you know, hey, it's good for American business in general, and that's a good thing because he's president and he's for all American business or whatever.
Right. Total coincidence. But, just like, you know, I know, you know, the Qataris are desperate to get the U.S. on their good side because of this whole freaking mess that they're in with their neighbors. And wow, all of a sudden, Jared Kushner is getting bailed out from the worst investment in history.
Oh, yeah. And this one's coming through this week, too. Right?
Yes. Yes. They're going to invest over $1 billion to fucking basically bail out Kush on that fucking albatross that they bought at 666 Fifth Avenue, which is the awesome address for Jared Kushner.
Right. So these two things in the last week and a half. Yep. Okay, I don't even know what to say about these as well, because it's one of these things where we're seeing these things, but it doesn't get the level of attention that you'd think it should. It just sort of at this point, everything washes over you of like, oh yeah, there's more corruption, there's more of this, there's more. I was mentioning in our Curmudgeon's Corner Slack earlier this week. Even I am getting fatigued of this stuff now. I mean, I understand the people. I understand the people who for months and months and months have been like, yeah, whatever. Stop talking about Trump and the scandal this and the Russia that and the corruption that. Who fucking cares? Talk about policy or talk about, Democrats in general should not talk about all this stuff. Tell us what you're going to do. And I understand where you're coming from, because I at least several times this week, I've seen a new headline pop up in my Twitter feed about one aspect or another of this. And I click through and it's a big, long article with lots of detail and lots of stuff that, you know, a year ago I would have been like consuming every little detail. And now I'm like,
and now you're like, oh, my God, another one of these.
Yeah, I'm like, OK, look, wake me up when there's something really new. I mean, this is just telling me once again that Trump and everybody around him is a sleazebag. I know that already.
Yep.
You know? And so I hope that, like, you know, that Mueller or whoever is chasing these things down and will eventually get something somewhere. But this is the kind of thing that just should not exist at all. You know, it's just, you don't want a president who's making decisions about foreign policy based on how much money it'll make him on his next real estate deal. That's yes. not the right criteria. That's not what they should be thinking about.
Oh. And speaking of more crooked deals.
Yes.
So, you do recall, right, that Trump adamantly always insisted that he had no business, no ties to Russia, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, yeah,
blah,
none
blah,
whatsoever.
Blah.
I remember that. Yes.
Right. Okay. Said that over and over in multiple interviews. The day of the third debate, he signed a letter of intent to build Trump Tower Moscow.
That's not having anything to do with the Russians, Yvonne.
It was supposed to be the tallest tower that was going to be built in Europe, basically, was Trump Tower Moscow. It was supposed to be a multi-billion dollar project. And that was signed. He signed that the day of the third debate. Mr. I have no ties to Russia. Business ties, anything. He signed the letter personally.
Well, okay, but Yvonne, it was a letter of intent. Nothing had actually happened yet.
The fuck, man? Are you for real? For real?
I mean, the deal fell through. Nothing happened.
Well, I think that the only reason the deal fell through is because he won the fucking president, I guess. Or I don't know.
I don't know if that was the reason or not, but yeah. So, okay, aside from that, there's also this weird thing, and I'm going to admit right up front, I do not understand all the details of this thing. They're like the rapper Ice Cube and some other people were apparently involved in some sort of sports investment. I
think it had to do with the Qataris as well.
Well, no, but yeah, the Qataris were in there too. But like first thing was there's some sort of sports investment, some sports team or some sports league. I don't even remember what sport it was, but it started with that was having financial problems. It was not working out the way they wanted to. So they were looking for folks to bail them out, and they started talking to the Qataris. And then the Qataris started talking about Flynn, Bannon, Cohen, and other Trump folks. And how, I'm getting confused here. In some way, they were trying to get Ice Cube and his associates to do something or other to get influence over Flynn and Bannon. What the hell is going on, Yvonne?
It's just, like you said, more of the same shit. I mean, there's just, you know, how many ways can we try and, to figure out a way?
Of course, Cohen was involved in that, too.
Of course.
Yeah.
To funnel money to Trump so we can get him to do what we want. How many ways can we pay this guy off?
And as we've said a few times on this show, some of this is Russian. But the Gulf states seem to have a big chunk of this going on, too.
Oh, yeah.
Qatar, the UAE, yeah. Saudi Arabia, all of these folks are I keep going back to these folks are influenceable by money. They're influenceable by blackmail. They're influenceable by all kinds of things. And every smart, intelligent service in the world is trying to take advantage of it. We heard a while back about China trying to influence Kushner. We've got the UAE. Right. We've got Qatar. We've got Russia. A while back ago, we heard some things about some South American countries, too, if I remember correctly.
Right.
It's like every country in the world who is trying to figure out the angle to influence the Trump folks, and the angle is money and blackmail. It's like, are you kidding me? I mean, the only exceptions we haven't heard yet are like the Europeans. As far as I know, France isn't trying to blackmail Donald Trump. Instead, all of the Europeans are basically throwing their hands up in the air going, what the fuck?
Right. That's basically that is the current, you know, posture in Europe.
Although
the Germans are just, you know, I mean, beyond disgusted.
Well, and like one of those examples, another sort of quid pro quo thing, and again, they don't necessarily have to be explicit. There were reports a few weeks ago that various members in the UAE government were being asked for information from the Mueller investigation and were getting ready to cooperate. But then there was some sort of Trump policy thing related to the region, and then all of a sudden, I believe it was the UAE, it might have been Qatar, decided, oh, we're not going to cooperate after all. Sorry about that. It's like, oh, it's like this, and this stuff is in plain sight. It isn't like secret. It's, but again, it's what's missing. What you don't have is somebody on tape saying, if you do that, we'll do this.
But well, apparently there was one of the guys that apparently was related to one of the Qatari investment funds who apparently they caught him on tape saying, "Oh yeah, we're paying him off." Yeah.
Right. There was one case where he specifically directed somebody to send $1 million to the Trumps or something like that.
Right.
Now, again, in some of these cases, it's unclear whether it's true or whether they're just boasting, because apparently a lot of these people were boasting about how much influence they had over the Trumps.
Right.
And basically saying, we can get whatever we want because we gave Kushner $1 million or whatever.
Right.
You know, but how much of that is just boasting versus how much of it is true? This is why we have prosecutors who need to sort all this shit out. But it's mind-blowing that this is the world we're in, that it's every single fucking day we're hearing about more of these kinds of things. And for the most part, everybody's like, oh, okay, whatever. Next.
Yeah. You know, who else is paying him off?
Right. Because of course he's being paid off. Like, why would we be surprised? Is there anything wrong with that?
Apparently, not according to him.
Well, and you keep hearing it's sort of like, well, he's a businessman. He's going to continue to do business, right?
Right. It's a business. We got to do business because it's a business, right?
Yeah.
Something like that.
And of course, Trump's not doing it, right? It's Kushner, and it's not even Jared. It's like Jared's father is running the business, right? And Trump Jr. is running the business, and so it's not Donald.
Right.
It's just these other people. Whatever. What else did we have along these? We have this informant who's been outed, who is an FBI informant, both the New York Times and Washington Post reporting on today, who is an American professor working in the UK. They were both careful not to name them, but NBC has named the guy, and several other conservative outlets have named the guy. It's Stefan Halper, who worked in a bunch of previous administrations. He worked for Nixon, he worked for Reagan, he worked for the first George Bush, doing one thing or another. And apparently he was working with the FBI, and on the FBI's request, he made several approaches to the various people in the Trump administration. It was during the campaign. So people in the Trump campaign to collect information, basically asking them questions. So that's what's out with that. And of course, on the one hand, there are people saying that the fact that this guy's has been outed is a horrible thing, because if FBI sources get outed all the time, nobody's going to want to work with the FBI, etc. But you've got the Trumpies and the conservatives saying, you know, the FBI is definitely out to get him. They're trying to infiltrate the Trump campaign.
Yep. So that's their claim. And so they're claiming the infiltration. They're claiming it was a plant. Of course, Rudy today went and was doing his usual helpful thing when Rudy on an interview acknowledges that Trump didn't have any proof whatsoever that that Trump Tower was wiretapped by Obama. And Rudy just went and blurted that out, too.
Well, and yeah. And of course, the whole thing with the wiretap, it comes back to the Trump's sloppy language and everything. You know, there's the accusation of being wiretapped. And if you look at that specifically, that was definitely not true. Of course, the wider case that was Donald Trump and his campaign being investigated, obviously true.
Yes.
Obviously true. Whether there was a specific wiretap on Donald Trump himself, maybe not. But
right.
The FBI never denied there being wiretaps on people around Donald Trump. They never denied that there was an investigation that was looking at people around him. He was, you know, as he has said so many times, he was told by Cohen, the FBI guy who was fired.
Comey.
See, it starts with K.
It's close.
Close. He was told directly by Comey, you are not a target of this investigation. Apparently, he was told by Mueller as recently as last month, you are not a target of this investigation. That's different. People are being very careful and precise with their language here.
Yep.
There was very definitely an investigation into what was going on here. That's been clear for a long time. And part of that is, yeah, if you can get somebody to talk to people and ask them questions and see what they say, guess what? That's how an investigation works.
Yep.
And
totally.
And sometimes it's like clear, like the FBI agent comes and he shows you his FBI badge and says, I want to talk to you. And sometimes it's the FBI going and asking somebody they trust, can you go talk to this guy and tell us what he says?
Right. And that's basically what the guy did. That's it. And nothing else. He went and, you know, approached him, tried to see what did they say about certain subjects, and that's it. Didn't bait him, didn't anything, just, and I'm just, I don't know. Anyway,
so
what
so
else we got on the corruption parade? We got anything else? What do we find out about Cohen? We had, did we talk about the new payments? We know about those.
The thing that came out with Cohen was there was an article in the New Yorker, Ronan Farrow, again, like just another big article from him, with the guy who leaked the SAR documents to everybody, apparently coming out and saying the reason that he leaked it was because the one document that he found referenced two others, but they weren't in the system.
Right.
So he was worried that someone was trying to eliminate evidence. Now, yeah. Apparently, the Treasury Department or whoever does those SARs did issue a statement this week saying that sometimes we pull those from general availability if they are related to an ongoing investigation. So it may turn out that while this guy was leaking them, worried that someone was trying to obstruct justice by deleting things, that really the reason they weren't available is they're already part of an ongoing investigation. And so they were pulled for that reason.
I do think that it's, I don't know what to say if there's something fishy or not happening in this. But obviously, at this moment, if I'm there, I would be concerned.
You would.
Totally.
You definitely can't, at this point, you can't dismiss the possibility. So no. I understand his concern. If it turns out the reasons they aren't there is because Mueller pulled them, well, then this guy may have committed a felony for no reason, but because leaking these documents was apparently also a federal crime, and he could be in a lot of trouble for this if they locate him, which they will.
They probably won't, but, you know, because the government is really bad at finding leakers unless they actually come out and confess.
Well, apparently there's several different press organizations that know at this point, and including ones that he did not directly leak to, and they've been able to confirm his identity. So, and look, they may find him, they may not, but I would not be surprised if they find him. But in any case, his concern makes sense to me, because at this point, with everything we know, it would not be shocking at all if someone was trying to do something like this, because we've got so much other evidence of people crossing ethical lines to do what may or may not be criminal obstruction of justice, but clearly seems to have that intent. And so it's understood. Now, what also was referenced there is apparently the other SARs which are the suspicious activity reports that banks submit on Cohen, apparently dwarf the ones that we've been talking about so far in terms of money being supplied to him.
Nice.
So, like, I believe, like, the total of what we've got so far in the SAR that we know about, something like $4 million or something came into, was referenced in those. But apparently, from what this guy said, there's the references to the other two indicate that the other two SARs are even more significant.
Nice.
So, more... And so this all ties
more
back.
More to come.
More to
and then,
come.
Of course, the one thing is that we keep talking, right? Everybody's saying, well, these payments were innocent. These servers were innocent. Well, they were so innocent. Why the hell are so many people in the companies involved that have been revealed that being fired, resigning left and right?
Well, to play devil's advocate for a second, whether or not what you did was justifiable. If you bring that level of negative attention to your company as an embarrassment, you could see people getting fired for it anyway, rather than the company deciding to defend them.
I totally agree. Yes, I do agree. But still, that is a decent explanation. But it's still a little bit problematic that many companies felt. Something like at any point that this came up, that it's like the right action is everybody was like in unison, you know, firing people.
So yeah, we'll see. This all ties back into the comments that came out that the Trump circle, the Trump inner circle, is at this point far more concerned about what the Cohen investigation is digging up than they are about what Mueller is digging up.
Oh, yeah.
Which indicates that, like, you know, on the Mueller side of things, we've always had the sort of take that, you know, oh, yeah, we were talking to the Russians, we were doing this, we were doing that, but it's all fine. There's nothing there that's bad. We didn't, you know, it's all, like, just normal. We, you know, maybe we don't do it the way everybody does it, but, you know, of course we were going to talk to them. It's not bad to talk to them. But now they're scrambling and worried about this this investigation of Cohen in a way that indicates that they know there's something bad there.
Yeah.
In a way that they don't seem to react on the Mueller stuff. I mean, on the Russia stuff, you keep hearing over and over, no collusion, no collusion, no collusion.
No collusion? What are you talking about? No collusion.
No collusion, no collusion, no collusion. You hear that over and over and
Trump
over.
Has Trump has nothing to do with Russia. No business.
Yes. But on this stuff, you don't hear them denying it the same way.
Well, actually, Giuliani, every fucking time he gets on TV, admits to something new that's, like, illegal anyway.
Yeah, yes, he does. Yeah.
You know?
He's not denying anything. He's just comes right out and says, we did that.
Oh, yeah, we paid him off. Oh, yeah, we did this. Oh, yeah, we did that.
And oh, yeah, I'm sure Cohen paid more women if he had the need.
Oh, yeah, Mark. You're like, motherfucker. And, you know, it was revealed this week that apparently Rudy is doing this for free.
You know, Manafort was working for free, too.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah, he's got these guys that keep working for free to him that, you know, are just, you know what they say, you get what you pay for. Well, you know, this is, you know, he's sure as hell getting his money's worth out of Giuliani at this point. I'll tell you what.
Okay, do we have anything else on this? We should move on.
No, we should.
We will be back after this for one last segment on what's going on in Israel, Gaza, etc. Back after this.
AlexandTheWeb.com. Bang Alex and Dad. Gaming videos and more from Alex. Elementary school by day. YouTube by night. AlexandTheWeb.com. AlexandTheWeb is AlexandTheWeb, and .com is period and then com.
Okay, we are back. So, what's been happening with Israel and Gaza The most recent developments, obviously there's history there going back a long time, was that the Gazans over the last few weeks have been doing a series of protests at one of the border crossings with Israel, where they've been protesting for the right of return and, you know, coming up near the border, looking like they want to cross, you know. And right. The Israelis, and you know, there was a coinciding with the moving of the embassy to Jerusalem and stuff, but that really, it wasn't connected. These things have been going on before. They'd been planned for a long time. They've been planned after. And the Israelis have, on a number of occasions now, just opened fire on the protesters. Now, the Israeli justification, they were rushing the border, they were throwing rocks, Molotov cocktails in some cases, there have been kites with...
And weapons, know, actually. There were people with weapons.
There were some of that. Like but the Israelis have responded by just shooting lots and lots and lots of people. I mean, we've got...
I think that's the big.
We've got on the order of, I believe, a couple hundred killed at this point and a few thousand injured.
Yeah.
I may be slightly off on the proportionality of the response.
I mean, I thought it was less than 100 killed, but anyway, I haven't looked at the updated numbers. But regardless, I think the one thing is that this incident, it seems like Hamas wanted to provoke the Israelis, and that is why they it seemed like they were encouraging the protesters to come forward and to head towards the post, okay, the military post. And there were inside the group people with weapons and things and throwing at them, and they wanted to, it seemed like to me that they wanted to provoke the Israelis, okay. And they did. And the problem is that the Israelis took the bait and then probably responded disproportionately to what the heck was going on.
Right.
The thing to me about this is that I feel is that this turned into a game with a lot of innocent people's lives. OK, in order to provoke something in the media that was, you know, it seems like positive for Hamas to a certain extent. I understand that the Israelis probably didn't handle this well at all. But at the same time, it just seemed like this was just set up as a game for that. I mean, they were using a lot of these innocent people as just bait to create this.
The Israelis point out a significant number of those killed were Hamas members. Now, those Hamas members may or may not have been armed at the time they were killed, but I think it is proportionality. Now, people will come back and say, if somebody's coming at you, what are you supposed to do? Just let them. But in many of these situations, the answer is yes. You had significant defenses.
You're in the fortified position. You could probably withstand the small attack. You didn't have to respond with such force, probably, even though they were attacking you. Yeah,
right.
It's
the overwhelming advantage. You had the overwhelming advantage. Right. They were not likely to do any significant amount of damage.
Right.
And even if there were a few armed people, even if there were a few provocateurs, there were lots of just regular people in that crowd, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some of the people killed were paramedics trying to tend to the wounded. I was listening to an interview the other day on probably the CBC or BBC with a doctor who was there and was not killed, but he was shot in the leg. There are plenty of people there, and the Israelis are not in an easy position there, but neither are the folks in the Gaza Strip. I mean, Israelis have been abusing. I mean, the I mean, you can talk about the West Bank and Gaza, but Gaza, from everything I've read, is so much worse than the rest of the West Bank. And the West Bank is pretty bad in terms of how it's been treated.
But the thing is, it's not even just the Israelis. Look, the Egyptians aren't doing them any favors either. You'd think that their Arab neighbors would be like more kind to, you know, to their brethren at their plight. But no. They've got them also blockaded and locked off.
Yes.
Which to me, I'm like, you know, and the Arab world uses this as an excuse to attack Israel. And I'm going, I'm like, you motherfuckers, you guys aren't even helping them either. Neither, you know, Egypt is doing nothing for them either.
No, and quite the opposite, in fact. I mean, people have described Gaza as a large open air jail. Because people cannot leave, they cannot come and go
in any direction.
In any direction, the Israelis completely control the supply of food, drugs, everything else in and out, and explicitly make it go up and down depending on what effect they want to have with the population, and so of course these people are mad, and of course they're getting more angry over time, and of course they are going to burst out violently at times. I mean, duh. Now that's not to say, you know, Hamas is a good organization. No, they're, from everything I've read about them, they're horrible too. You know,
but it's a clusterfuck from both sides. You know, that's the point.
Yeah, I mean, the Israelis are not doing anything that would help the situation. They are doing things that make it worse.
Correct.
Now, there was a thread that my cousin Heather Hurlburt, who's in the foreign policy area, retweeted from Yair Rosenberg, Twitter handle YAIR_ROSENBERG. And he wrote an article in Tablet Magazine, but he also put it in a tweet storm. 13 inconvenient truths about what has been happening in Gaza. And where he tried to basically, you know, do a little bit about the pox on both your houses kind of approach here, where he was like, look, what you hear from most people is either, oh my God, the Palestinians are such horrible victims here, Israel is evil, or the Palestinians are evil, Israel is defending themselves in the only way they can, and stop, you know, beating them up about it. They have to do this because Hamas is horrible. Whereas really there's things wrong on both sides. So his main points, number one, the protests were not about Trump moving the embassy to Jerusalem.
The protests had been in place like well before.
Yeah.
Yes.
Number two, the Israeli blockade of Gaza has gone well beyond the security concerns and has been capricious and self-defeating. Number three, Hamas is an explicitly genocidal terrorist group dedicated to violence and repression. Number four, both Israel and Hamas are responsible for the current situation.
Yep.
Number five, many of the tens of thousands of protesters in Gaza, both this week and in weeks prior, have been entirely peaceful. This is relatively easy to see from the video and everything else coming out of there. Number six, Hamas manipulated many of the demonstrators into unwittingly rushing the border fence under false pretenses.
Right.
In order to get injuries and fatalities.
Exactly. Which is why I was saying that, you know, that they were basically using them in order to precipitate this reaction.
Number seven, a significant number of protesters were armed, seeking to breach the border and kidnap Israelis. And many of those killed were members of terrorist groups. Number eight, it is facile to argue that Gazans should just be protesting Hamas instead of Israel. And there are a number of reasons why that he goes into. Number nine, while encouraging Gazans to direct their anger towards Israel and not itself, Hamas has deliberately cut Gaza off from humanitarian aid in order to fan the flames.
Right.
Number 10, you should already know this in the era of fake news, but a lot of what you're seeing in social media isn't true. Number 11, there are constructive solutions to Gaza's problems that would alleviate it, but nobody's talking about them.
Oh, nobody cares.
Nobody cares. And number 12.
I mean, not Hamas, not these, not definitely not Bibi Netanyahu's government, and certainly not the fucking Egyptians either. That's for damn sure.
And not Donald Trump.
And not Donald Trump either. Yeah.
Number 12, a truly independent, respected inquiry into Israel's tactics and rules of engagement is necessary. Number 13, the entire debate around this has been framed by absolutists who insist either that Israel is blameless or that Israel is wantonly massacring random Palestinians for sport. It's probably, it's more complicated than that.
Yes.
But it's clear that on one hand, so, and now I'm talking for myself, not the 13 points from this guy. To me, it's absolutely clear that Israel has significantly overreacted in a way that hurts in the end both the Palestinians in Gaza and obviously the people killed and injured and themselves. This is self-destructive for Israel to be doing this kind of thing as well. It's not helpful. It's not going to resolve anything. It's not going to move things forward. It's going to make things worse. And they clearly could have shown significant restraint here and had the upper hand. And you know, if they're peaceful protests, let there be peaceful protests. And if a few people try to do things that aren't peaceful, you have to figure out the right proportionate response. And I know that's hard. And sometimes it does mean just ignoring the provocation. I think you put it well at the beginning of this, Yvonne. You know, Israel essentially did exactly what Hamas wanted them to.
Yeah, they took the bait this. They really wanted to. They wanted this to happen. Unfortunately, Hamas is looking for this to happen, and they got the Israelis to react the way that they expected them to react, and you know, to create this nightmare for everybody. Because you know, all those people that died. I mean, it's horrible. I mean, it's just this all just does is perpetuate the conflict. I mean, it just doesn't really help anybody other than, you know, the Hamas hardliners.
Now, I will back off a little bit. You know, I've been.
And not even them, because they think it helps and it's not helping them.
I will say one thing, though. I mean, I've been doing a lot of this. Look, they're both to blame. They're both things going on here. And I think that's very true. However, if you back up a little bit and take the long view, I think the Palestinians have been so screwed so badly, so often over the last 70 plus years.
I'm talking this about this situation. I'm talking
I,
about
I know
this
we're I know we're talking about
I'm
this.
Not talking about the whole
I know
I'm not talking about
I,
the
I'm
whole
just saying
thing.
Like if you have to evaluate the entire history.
Oh, they're Jesus Christ, what a group of people that gotten fucked. I mean, Jesus.
They have gotten screwed over so many times by this, and that is not to say that I think you should, you know, undo the creation of Israel and give it all back to the Palestinians. That is not a viable solution at this point. Israel,
no, but keeping them like we said, like in a fucking like jail in Gaza, like right now, is also not a solution either.
I mean, Israel has been moving more and more towards the sort of apartheid kind of, you will just take all the Palestinians and they have to stay over here. And maybe we'll give them licenses every once in a while to come into Israel and do some work. Maybe. For some of the ones from the West Bank, but not really for Gaza. I mean, there's a little bit of that, but you know, it's not a viable long-term solution to anything. You're just there is repression there, and they are horribly treating the Palestinians, and so there is some becoming terrorists is not the right way to respond to it. But the Palestinians are right when they say they've been screwed.
Yep. They're
and totally they're right, right to be angry. And they're right to want some justice out of that situation. And, you know, more and more I'm thinking that in the long term, the solution, the only solution that will this wouldn't even solve it. The solution I would like to see, if I could wave a magic wand, is a single state, secular democracy for everybody there. But that's
Israel
but
has that's not been a, acting But that's not a solution. As a secular democracy. But I don't think as a – I mean, but, no, that would be ideal. I agree that, you know, for a single state for everybody. But that's – I know what you're saying.
There are all the reasons why it can't happen. There are all the reasons why nobody on any side of that argument will accept that kind of solution right now. Because, you know, the Israelis want to make sure Israel is a – you know, is a Jewish state, and that implies keeping a Jewish majority. And if all of a sudden you said, hey, West Bank and Gaza, you're just Israeli citizens, you can vote too, that majority would if it's not already evaporated, it would evaporate fairly quickly because of differential rates of, you know, of how many kids people have and all that kind of stuff. You know, so I understand, but you know, right now, the situation is that there's a group of people who are getting routinely screwed over and over and over again. And you are never going to solve this situation as long as your solution depends on continuing to screw them over. Okay.
All right.
Anything else to say about that situation other than the usual, it's all fucked and it's going to stay that way a long time?
Nope.
Okay. Thank you, everybody. I think this is another... We're done with another Curmudgeon's Corner. Thank you for listening. Thank you for joining. Thank you for sharing and telling your friends that you like the show and they should listen, too. The usual ways to get in touch with us, work with us, whatever. Facebook.com/Curmudgeon's Corner. You can like us on Facebook. You can share the episodes with your friends. You can do all that kind of stuff. You can comment, tell us what you thought of the show, give us suggestions for the future, all that fun stuff. You can reach Yvonne and I on Twitter as well. I'm at Abulsme, A-B-U-L-S-M-E. Yvonne is at I-M-B-O, I-M-B-O-U. And if you really like us, please join our Patreon, patreon.com/curmudgeonscorner. And you can throw us a buck or two a month to help with the miscellaneous expenses of the show, which apparently I really need since I was throwing $80 a month into toilet.
Yes,
on
we
Netflix.
Figured out that you flushed thousands.
Thousands of dollars down the toilet. Not down the toilet. I mean, both Netflix and Verizon benefited from my generosity.
There's some DVDs sitting around somewhere.
Yeah, there you go. If you give us at least $2 a month, you can join us on our Curmudgeon's Corner Slack, where Yvonne and I and a bunch of other listeners and contributors to the show chat all week long about the issues of the day and various other random stuff that's going on. Fun things. This week, you could have learned how often I went to the gym over the last 4 months. Exciting
and,
things like
and
that.
And I.
And how often Yvonne did. Very good. That's it. Have a great week, everybody. We'll talk to you again next week. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.